My work, along with that of others, emphasized the global character of the depression, the gold standard as a constraint, the endogeneity of monetary conditions using models and narrative evidence. It related the singular allegiance of countries to the gold standard despite evidence of that system's destabilizing effects. It related their adherence to the system to their historical experience with hyperinflation and social conflict during and after World War I, when that regime had been in abeyance. It tried to show how a system that had been stabilizing before 1914 became destabilizing thereafter, owing to changes in the social and political context in which it operated. It sought to explain how that system had become more fragile, owing to the spread of foreign exchange reserves, allowing more money and credit to be pyramided on a narrow base of gold, the more limited credibility of the official and social commitment to gold convertibility because of changes in the social and political setting, and to the declining scope for international cooperation due to the legacies of World War I. It attempted to show how a relatively modest contractionary shock in the United States in 1928-29 could have profoundly destabilizing consequences worldwide by linking money and credit conditions in the United States to money and credit conditions in the rest of the world via the pegged exchange rates and high capital mobility of the gold standard, and by showing how the effects of that shock were amplified by their interaction with the weak balance of payments positions of the countries that had been on the receiving end of capital inflows from the US in the preceding period. There were then a series of amplification mechanisms focusing on money, credit, and banking that made the Great Depression great, and a series of corrective mechanisms eventually ending it. The gold standard, as it operated in the early 1930s, prevented central banks from acting as lenders of last resort, a fact that goes a long way toward explaining the banking panics and bank runs of the period. Those banking crises had negative consequences for economic activity, operating through both monetary and non-monetary channels, as Ben showed in his 1983 article. The collapse of the gold exchange standard then had a deflationary impact and aggravated financial distress by destroying the foreign exchange component of global liquidity. All this made abandoning the gold standard the key to recovery. Abandoning it allowed central banks to act as lenders of last resort. It ended the deflation. It pushed prices back up despite near zero interest rates and liquidity trap-like conditions in countries like Japan, where the authorities were able to decisively alter expectations by pushing down the exchange rate. In countries like Sweden, where they specified a price level target, in countries like the UK, where they committed to a policy of cheap money, of low keeping credit conditions accommodating for as long as it took. Those measures relieved the pressure for governments to resort to tariffs and quotas to bottle up what had been a fixed lump of demand, given that once monetary policy could be actively used, that fixed lump of demand was no longer fixed. So that's a connection that Doug Irwin and I emphasized in the piece I cite at the bottom here. Many of these positive incomes could have been achieved, of course, without going off the gold standard had countries cooperated with one another on reflationary policies. But there were a number of reasons in practice, ranging from domestic constraints, international tensions to divergent conceptual models that prevented central banks and governments from cooperating and made unilateral action the only only option. So given this, the interesting question is why some countries clung to the gold standard as long as they did. Another way of asking the question is why did countries and societies draw the specific lessons of history? That's part of the title of the session, that they did. I think that question is important for understanding crises more generally, so I'll return to it given time.